creative journey is not an easy one. We're here to help. The Lightning Rod is a safe space to talk about branding, marketing, business, and the creative industry. Today's host is Tammy Nguyen.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of The Lightning Rod. So today we're talking about, I always start off the podcast. I just realized that as I was saying that, I always start the podcast off the same, which is it like, I don't know, does this come with like the realm of podcasting and doing show business, I guess? Like you kind of have like a ongoing theme. But anyway, regardless, I hope you're enjoying Freelancer Month so far with us. I really want to dive into today about landing your first gig as a freelancer. So if you didn't know already, one of our free resources that we're providing for freelancers on our website right now is a freelancer job board. So basically, we sourced all of these legit job boards out on the internet for freelancers of all kinds, design, IT, software, photography, even all types of creative realms, especially. We sourced all of those. I think there's like about 20, 25. If we find any more, we'll add them. And the reason why the count seems so low is because it's about finding legit job sites. Like, I don't want you guys to get scammed. We took a lot of time in terms of like reading through all of these, like making sure like, okay, we don't know what the hire rate is on these, to be completely transparent and fair with you. We don't know the hire rate. Like, we don't know like how many freelancers actually get jobs through most of these. We've tested some of these out ourselves as freelancers, etc. Or at least I've used them in the past myself. Most of them are pretty much like legit. The other part that I don't want to like make you feel like we're lying or anything like that is more in terms of like, we don't know the legitness of like the hire rate. Like, we don't know if a lot of people get hired from them. However, we did source for those jobs and make sure like, okay, they're not just posting like a bunch of faulty jobs in here. So all of them do post legit jobs. Just a matter of like maybe the administration team behind these job boards, are they filtering? Are they looking through emails? Or is it like another Indeed where you're just like dumping a bunch of resumes? And that's one of the things that I really want to express about today is we try to stay away from things like Monster and Indeed. And the reason why is because I work in that realm and I know that space where like if you're dumping into Indeed, like you're applying on there, it's a great resource for sure. But it's a huge database where you're just literally dumping your information in there, and recruiters and HR people, whatever it is, employers, they're dumping their jobs and information in there. And most likely, to be honest with you, they're not checking. And it's because it's an overwhelmingly amount of resumes, and it's an overwhelmingly amount, or what is overwhelmingly, but it's an overwhelming amount of information, data, and just overall things in there. There's just too much. And I feel like a lot of people are, they just want things quick and easy nowadays. Like, they just want it boom, boom, boom. I just want to see what it is. And so we go into this trap with Indeed and Monster and stuff because we apply and we think like the job is so good. And then these people are posting like on Indeed and Monster. They're like, oh, well, I'll surely get some candidates. It's like a popular platform. So for sure, you're going to get candidates, but it's a matter of like, are you going to look? And also like on the other end of being like the job seeker side, like if you're applying to like 10,000 jobs, like, are you checking after the applications? Are you following up? Is there, you know, even information for you to follow up? There's just like so much of like openness to these platforms. It's a little bit hard to navigate. So we really looked for platforms where, it was more concentrated. Maybe it was even more specific, like design job boards or like IT software or photography or just general creative or marketing. We looked for those specific ones so that it kind of helps narrow it down for you. And so that's, again, it's a free resource. So go ahead, come to our website and check it out. It should be in our content library under the freelancer section, which is a new section that we're opening, or we have opened for the creative folks and its audience. So it's free. Go ahead and check it out. So after you kind of, you know, surfed your way through the job boards and like looked at all of these jobs, one of the main things that you have to do as a freelancer is submit a proposal to land your first gig. And so that proposal is so important, because it's more than just a cover letter. It's more than just like a resume. It's like all of that combined into a package. So like, you can attach a resume, you can attach a cover letter, etc. But that proposal is that selling point that tells that employer, like, I should hire this person, or I should hire this freelancer. So the key to acing that proposal, I've done this many times both ways, where like, I was being lazy about it. I basically just copied the same, or like, I made a bunch of different proposals and I would copy it and then just paste it into like the proposal area and then send it off. And then I would just blast them, like blast 50 at a time, and see what, like, sometimes I got like one or two coming back, which was okay. However, over the years of doing this, which is why I'm telling you now so that you can avoid making the same mistake, is to not do that. Do not make multiple proposals just to copy and paste and send it off to clients or send it off as your proposal. I think it comes across ingenuine, and people can definitely see when something is copy and pasted, even if you do your best to, you know, fix all the typos and it looks super clean, it looks super professional. I think that's where it gets it, is that in my recent times when I did like these freelancer proposals, like, I want to say like every five that I sent out, at least three came back and said like, hey, I want to hire you. And it was because of a few things that I did in that proposal that made it a little bit different. And I feel like I've also been on that hiring end before on these freelancer platforms. I've been on the hiring end, and I could tell you exactly what I'm looking for when I'm on that hiring end. So the first thing I'll dive into is that proposal right now, is that make it personal. I definitely think, do not copy and paste, make it personal. If you read through their job description, mention some of the keywords in their job description. So say if they wanted something made in Canva, make sure that is appearing inside your proposal. Like, hey Tammy, I read your job description, and it looks like you're looking for someone that knows Canva. I've been using Canva for 3 years. I know the ins and outs of it. I know this, I know that. Here are some attached examples of the Canva work that I've made. So just by saying that, even though, yes, it loses like some of its professionality to it, it's less formal, but is definitely more personable, and it makes you want to read it. That's the goal, is that they want to at least read it first, in the sea of like all of these proposals that were copied and pasted. At least that one stands out, and if they can just click on it and see it, and maybe they don't even read it all the way through, they're willing to see the, you know, the portfolio pieces, etc., you have a higher chance of being hired. That's just coming from experience on the other side of the table, is that when I'm reading through these proposals that these freelancers are sending to me, I'm looking for not necessarily uniqueness. I'm just looking for personality, really. I'm looking for someone that literally did read my job description and is highlighting keywords in there. Like, they're telling me like, okay, they're pulling the software that I said that I really want to make sure that this person knows, or they're sending in examples of things that, you know, that I'm asking for. That shows me that you paid attention to that job description and you're not just sending me copy and paste. Another thing that was a really big pet peeve of mine being on the other side is that our identities are not disclosed. Like, I go by she, her, etc. Those are my pronouns. However, that's not shown on my profile when people are applying to my jobs. So it really kind of irks me when I see a proposal come in and says, hi, sir, or hey, sir, I see that you're looking for X, Y, and Z. So if there is no gender or anything, there's no titles or anything like that involved in you know, like that screening process where you're seeing like the client, you'll see like my past hires, and you'll see like possibly reviews from other freelancers. So sometimes they mention my name, etc. So if you can pick up my name, great, you can just call me by Tammy. But if you don't know my name at all, because it doesn't show my profile, nor does it show my my pronouns, etc., just don't start off with that. Like, just say, hey, thanks for posting a cool opportunity, hope your day is going well, something of that sort. Just really avoid the pronouns, or just avoid titles, because you don't know who you're speaking to, and maybe they're super offended. I was personally like, the minute that I saw, hey, sir, I was like, this is copy and paste, I'm moving forward. So that's just a little perspective for that example. The next thing is that I think a clean portfolio really shows potential. So if you have a portfolio that's kind of like all over the place because you do a lot of different type of work, which is okay. My first portfolios were definitely like that. But that did play a part in terms of like whether or not I was going to get hired or not. I feel like as over time, I cleaned up my portfolio. I showed only relevant stuff that I felt like I wanted to do at that time. So me as a freelancer, maybe sometimes I'm only able to do like flyers and postcards because that's all the time I had for. But then eventually maybe I was able to do logos. So I'll add that on. But then when I'm not readily able to do them anymore, I'll take the logos off. So an updated and clean portfolio is very important to this process of like getting your first gig and getting many other gigs moving forward. Don't be down. Like, this is like my final word on this too, is like, don't be down if you didn't land one just yet. I know like a lot of people feel negative about all of this when like, oh, like I haven't landed my first gig and it's been so long, I'm like needing money, etc. This is where I'm gonna tell you that I think it's not like a end all be all type of thing. If you can't land your first gig, still keep trying to land your first gig, but look for a part-time. It's okay to go work at fast food. It's okay to go work in retail, but still also do your freelancing career. I worked in a retail store for $7.25 an hour while still doing freelance on the side, while going to school, while doing internships, etc. All of that combined. And I'm not saying like, you know, you need to be like me. I was definitely, like, now me thinking back, I was definitely crazy. Like, I feel like that was a lot of work. But I never stopped trying. So like, if you see something that's not working, or like if you keep repeating this process and it's not working for you as a freelancer, think about it again and talk to people, talk to other freelancers, or talk to people on Facebook, like those Facebook groups and stuff like that. Talk to them and see what it is you're doing wrong. Because if you're not landing your first gig and it's been like a couple of months, then you are doing something wrong. And it may not even be something that is prominent. Like you may not even know it. Maybe even something as simple as like the "hey sir," like just maybe remove that and maybe you can land your first gig. Maybe it's your portfolio. Maybe it's not showcasing true skill. Like have another designer or have another creative look at your portfolio and let them see like, okay, would you hire me based off of this portfolio? And if not, like, why not? How can I improve it? Outside the portfolio, maybe it's like your bidding price. So one of the things also that I really want to mention here that a lot of people have asked me before is on these freelancer platforms, the bid rate on here is very low, by the way. I would love to say that they're like really high paying jobs. Some of them are. So some on our freelancer board right now, they're really good high paying like opportunities on those sites. But a big majority of these freelancer platforms, they're low rate. And the reason why is because people are outsourcing on here for alternatives because they don't want to pay the average or the standard, the industry standard. Do I agree 100% on this? Like, I don't agree on taking advantage of creators. However, if that's the pricing that they're giving out and they're comfortable with it, that's on the designer. That's on the creative at the end of the day to make sure that their prices match according to their value. That's not to say like I am okay with someone requesting for a $5 logo. Like, I think that's totally bogus because there's a lot that goes into a logo. A logo is going to like brand your company for life, no matter if it's like 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 plus years. That is your company image for life. I do think that takes a proper investment to make. So like $5 logos, I'm not there for it. However, there's a lot of other things, like a lot of people are charging different ranges, like a flyer. Some people charge $35 for a flyer. Some people charge $200 for a flyer. It's a matter of like you as a business owner to determine, okay, where do I see the value in and where can I invest? Can I invest in between? Maybe this is a little bit low end, but let me see their work, you know, like, you know, play the cards right. But in terms of like other things like branding, like a logo, a website, etc., I don't believe in like $5 logos. I also don't believe in $50 websites, $25 websites. Like, I just don't think it's right, because that is setting your brand up for life. Even if you change it within like a year or two, it's still a setup to get you to do better. And it's going to be sold across the board. It's like your marketing. So I just don't believe like doing $5 a logo. Like, I don't think that's great. And it's not profitable. And you're probably getting a copy from someone else, which is not good. But yeah, like the messaging there is that on these freelancer platforms, it's competitive. Like, the pricing will be low. So if you're going to work on these freelancer platforms, don't make it your bread and butter. Like, make sure you're building these relationships with these people. So every now and then, I'm still hopping on these freelancer platforms and working to build relationships with people. I've definitely met like very long-lasting clients for TCF through these freelancer platforms. And the reason is because we're building relationships as I'm talking to them. And then I introduce them later, like, hey, like, I know that you met me as a freelancer on here, but I work outside of this, you know, as an agency as well. Please feel free to reach out to me since you've worked with me before. I'm happy to, you know, offer like maybe like an onboarding discount or something like that, just so that you can sign on with the agency, etc. But yeah, like if you're going to work on these freelancer platforms, I don't suggest working on it full time, because you will, one, be drained, and two, you will constantly lower your prices. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think it's safe. I think it's important to be able to grow outside of this and still work on it every now and then to get a project or two. But really develop your pricing outside of this. Once you really get that structure of like talking to clients through this platform, that's where I think it's really handy, is that I learned how to talk to clients through this platform. And after learning that, I was able to move it outside of that and then work with the clients like outside of the platforms itself. And it's been super helpful since then. So that's why I think you guys should consider this kind of stuff, is like, if you're going to work on it, know what's competitive in terms of pricing, and be prepared to set your prices low. And I'm not saying, again, not a $5 logo. Don't do it. You do not have to push yourself down to a $5 logo, but maybe even like a $100 logo just to start. And then build up packages from $200, $300, and then maybe one day charge like, you know, $1,500 for a package. That's the goal, right? So it's a good starting point. That's why I don't recommend working on it forever. I think it's a good place to start. So that is it for freelancer platforms. I don't know if I covered like every single question out there in the world, but I definitely think I covered like a big chunk of like landing your first gig. So just to cover it one more time, is that I think the proposal is super important. So just don't do a copy and paste. Be personable. Bring in like little details from their job descriptions into your proposal, and hopefully that helps you land your first gig. A clean portfolio is number two. A clean portfolio, even if it's not fulfilled like all the way through, like you don't have like hundreds and hundreds of projects, a clean one at least shows potential. It shows like, okay, this is easy to see, it's easy to read. I can see myself working with this designer, this photographer, this creative in general. And then number three, just don't be down. Like, I understand, like I said, this whole rant session, that I know freelancer platforms are cheap, and that's why I don't think you should stay on there forever. I think it's a good starting point. So don't be down if you haven't landed one just yet. It's a competitive market out there. And just understanding your own clientele, and just understanding like, what do you see yourself working with? Like, do you only want to work real estate clients? Do you only want to work with healthcare and medical clients? Do you want to work with everybody? I mean, like, just to be fairly honest, that's a lot of work and a lot of demand. But I worked with everybody when I first started, and that has helped build my audience very well. So now, like for TCF, we target small businesses. We target B2B. We target people that want that minimalism. They want that modern design, clean design. We're not here to do like concert flyers. We're not here to do like comedy show flyers. We're not doing that. That's not our clientele. We mainly work with small business owners who are looking to promote their business or scale their businesses, and we become part of their team to help them scale. And that definitely did not come in one night. That took a lot of years of work, like me working with a bunch of real estate people, me working with like a bunch of medical people, healthcare people, things that I didn't even understand. I was working with those people in order to understand more about the clientele I wanted to work with. So that's important for you guys, is that to think about that kind of stuff, and don't be down just because you haven't landed your first one. It's going to come in due time. And if you place the right energy out there, I definitely believe the right energy is going to come toward you, and you're going to land that first gig, and you're going to be super excited about it, and you're going to do super well, get your 5-star review, and you're on your way to being a pro freelancer. So if any questions, I would love to answer them. You can email us, letstalk@thecreativefolks.org. Happy to answer any questions about this freelancer journey. It's a tough one. So we're going to add freelancer episodes to not only this month of September, but it's going to be an ongoing conversation. We're going to bring it in. My experience as a freelancer, we'll talk about maybe pricing in the future, contracts even, other legal stuff maybe, whatever we can disclose as, you know, like non-professionals of that legal space. Just things that worked for us, things that we encountered. Those are some episodes that we really look forward to doing. So let us know if you have any suggestions. We would love to kind of cover those episodes as well. All right. See you in the next episode. Let's hustle.
Did you know that we have an entire content library for you to learn from? Check out our website for more information. Thanks for tuning in today. The Lightning Rod is powered by the Creative Folks.